Everyone, call this meeting to order. And Mr. Johnson, if you can lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes, sir.
All rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. May be seated. Director, if you can do a roll call, please.
You got it. Sheriff Daniels in the room.
Here.
Detective Cook's in the room.
Here.
Commander Figueroa's in the room. Mr. Johnson's in the room. Ms. Kelly's in the room. Detective Crazier, are you online? Can you hear us?
Yes, yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Director Profiri is in the room.
Present.
Professor Robinson's in the room. Sheriff Schuster, we heard you before, but just confirming again, you can hear us?
I can hear you. I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. Colonel Silbert's in the room. Chief Vasquez is in the room. Ms. Weiss, I can see your photo, or can you hear us?
I can hear you. Good morning.
Good morning. And Chief Williams, I can see you. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good morning. Sheriff, we have an entire full board.
Thank you, Director. Any comments from board members before we proceed into our agenda? Sheriff Schuster, welcome to the board. I wasn't here last month, so let me give you an official welcome. Look forward to working with you.
Thank you, Sheriff Daniels. Likewise.
Director, back to you for your announcements and report.
I'm going to keep my comments short this month because I know I've kept you for a long time, the last 2 months. So we'll try to keep this one a little briefer. Just a couple things. Monique Cody, again, is your IA, but I'm sad to announce she's accepted a position up in northern Arizona. So this will be her last meeting, her last adventure with the Attorney General's office. So, Monique, thank you for your service to Arizona Post, and we will miss you.
I do want to say that I did accept a senior attorney position with Coconino County, so I will be keeping Commander Figueroa as a client, although I'll be losing the rest of the board members.
Monique, on behalf of the board, thank you for your service and your professionalism with us. Good luck to you up there.
And I know you know that now the weather in Flagstaff's good, but it gets really cold in the winter. You know that, right? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Just check. I want to make sure. Just a couple other announcements. The final action case, if you look at your agenda, final action 2020-193 for Peace Officer Del Pazzo. We're going to take that out of order. We're actually going to move that to the very end after the last new action case. So we're just going to move those because those are very similar circumstances. So we wanted to present those to you at the same time. So that's the only change to the agenda. And the only other thing I want to announce is I didn't have a chance to talk to them before the meeting started, but we have our friends from California Post are here. As you know, they're embarking on a new adventure where they'll have the ability to decertify peace officers for the first time. And as you can imagine, we have 15,000 officers. They have somewhere in that range of 90,000. So it's a heavy lift. So they're embarking on that now, and we've offered them any assistance they want because routinely they're the ones assisting us with different training topics and such. So whatever they need, we've offered it to them. So this is the second time they've come to watch one of our board meetings. And again, I just want to let you know they were here. And unless anyone has any questions, Sheriff, I can go right into my director's report, which, again, will be fairly brief.
Quick question on the final action case 193. Is that going to be the last? Or are you doing?
It'll be the very one. If you look at Anthony Alvarez 2022-100, your last new action case, we'll handle Del Pazzo right after that. We'll present that one.
Okay. We'll stumble through that. Okay. To our guests, welcome from California. Good to see you all. Director, back to you for your report.
Just a couple things. I always like to keep you updated on where I've gone and who I've talked to on your behalf and representing the board. And I've talked to you before about going out and meeting with chiefs and sheriffs around the state to understand what's going on in their respective jurisdictions. So last month I went down and spent the day down in Nogales with Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office. I'd never been down there. I'd never met Sheriff Hathaway before, so I spent a day with them, got a tour of their jail, their facilities, and it was a really good conversation, again, just recognizing that things that are important to agencies up here or up in northern Arizona might be different than what's necessary down in Santa Cruz County. So, again, I appreciate you giving me the flexibility to go around and do that and have those contacts with different law enforcement leaders from around the state. On that same vein, I also go to the regional meetings with usually the sheriff's host in their counties with all the associated police departments in that area. And the last month, I went up to Gila County in Payson and spent a couple hours with all the law enforcement agencies from Gila County. Again, it's just a really good sharing of information on what's going on at Arizona Post and what they believe they need from Arizona Post, and then I bring stuff back to the team here, and we help those agencies. So, again, thank you for allowing me that flexibility. East Valley and West Valley Chiefs meeting every once in a while. They combine East Valley and West Valley. I went to that last week in Scottsdale. Again, just a really good way to discuss what's going on here with all the different police chiefs in the valley. I'm still part of the ACOP training committee, and as you know, they're having their second conference of the year up in Laughlin next month, and we're putting together some decent training. Every single piece of training that we're hosting now up there will be approved for Arizona Post continuing training credit. That was a direction that started under Sylvia Moyer when she was the training chair for ACOP, and we've continued that now, so we want to make sure that anyone that attends is getting training credit, because they used to not get training credit. So we're doing that, so we're pretty proud of that. We're partnering with a company called Boulder Crest for a Struggle Well program. For those of you who are in ACOP training in this summer up at the summit, they did a one-hour presentation in conjunction with Tucson PD. And it's called Struggle Well. It's really post-traumatic growth versus post-traumatic stress. I was really intrigued. So I reached out to Chad Kazmar down in Tucson, the chief, talked to him because he's pushing it 100% to all of his folks. And I said, hey, how can we help at the state level? I think it sounds like a really good program. How can we help? So Chad and I bounced some ideas back and forth, and I said, hey, you know what? What would really help is if maybe someone from our staff could come down and take the class to get a really good hands-on idea of what it entails and how we could push it out statewide. So right now, Chuck Miller is down struggling well in the conference down in Tucson. So I'm looking forward to him coming back at the end of the week to tell us what he liked, what he didn't like, and how we can help Tucson roll it out. Because what Tucson is, Chad Kazmar is saying is, although right now Boulder Crest teaches their classes, they're going to do a train the trainer, and Chad's going to have a whole host of people that are able to train on that topic, and he's then willing to farm them out statewide to host the class with whoever might want to host it. And I have already dedicated funds that we will be able to pay for those instructor travel fees and support it from an Arizona Post perspective. Again, because I think we all recognize the cumulative effects of what peace officers see on a daily basis, and to give them coping mechanisms to how to deal with stress, I think is very helpful and benefits not only the law enforcement agencies but the communities they serve. So really excited about that, and I'll keep you updated as we move forward on what that's going to look like, but just want to give you just a beginning look into that. And the last thing is, I know I've talked about it for 2 years now, but the IACP wellness class that I've been part of creating. Again, we've hosted the two pilots. We hosted one here in Phoenix. We hosted one in Denver. And we're going to host one more on the East Coast. We're making some tweaks to some of the way the class is organized. But Lori Waite and her staff taught the class here. It went over really well. We got really good critiques from the students. And IACP was out actually watching it. And then, again, knock on wood, in the next month or two, we'll be able to roll it out nationwide. And it's an 8-hour wellness for officers. And it covers anything from financial wellness to physical wellness, to emotional wellness, and it has a section on suicide prevention. So, again, very excited about that. And with that, that's all I've got. Again, I wanted to keep it brief this month, but I'm happy to answer any questions any of the board members might have.
Thank you, Director. Any questions for the Director?
So, Mr. Chairman, this is Jerry Williams. I don't have a question, just a comment, sir.
Go ahead, Chief.
So I do want to commend Matt for getting out across the state to see what's going on. To his credit, while we may be all law enforcement agencies, we're all very different. I mean, regardless of whether you're in Maricopa County or elsewhere. So I really do want to applaud his efforts. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say I'm so thankful that we're finally really pushing employee wellness and officer wellness, because I think that's going to be the game changer for our employees. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Well stated.
Thanks, Chief.
Any other comments for the Director? Thank you, Director. Moving on the agenda. Next agenda item is D, the consent agenda. Any comments, modifications before we take a motion? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Jamie Kelly, I move to accept the consent agenda.
Thank you, Jamie. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next agenda item E, subdivision policy statement on medical requirements and examination. Mr. Director, back to you.
Yep. Sheriff and board members, this is something we've talked about at length before. We had a couple cases last month that kind of highlighted it. But, and I've told you before this, is when I walk down the hallway and look in the compliance specialist offices, I routinely see them looking at medical records, and they're looking at these medical records, and they're calling doctors, and the doctors are calling us, and the agents are calling us. And although our board rules say that that there has to be a pre-employment medical screening, and our rules say that we have to train those board-approved doctors, there's nothing in the rules that say what those standards are. So we have created, over the years, we've created a medical manual that our doctors use. Well, what we've encountered in the last year, more so than we've ever in my time here, is we're having doctors pitting each other, they're against each other. So we have one doctor we use, Dr. Hawkins, and he's a phenomenal person. He did a lot of really good work for Arizona Post over the years. But doctors were calling him saying, hey, I believe this person's good, but you're telling me he's not, and now these two doctors are arguing, and what makes one doctor more qualified than the other? And then we're getting questions from agencies like saying, hey, our doctor said this person meets standards. Here are the job descriptions of a peace officer. Our doctor says they meet it, but your doctor's saying they don't. So it was becoming very problematic for us. And I've always told you this, I'd like to be, what's reasonable? What's reasonable for the agencies? What's reasonable for, and the expectations of the community that we serve? So what we were proposing as a substantive policy on pre-employment medical screens, and just to refresh your memory, what a substantive policy is it's not, we're not changing the rules. All we're doing is saying, this is how we interpret the rules. And what we're asking you by this policy is that you interpret the rules that we will still continue to train the doctors. The doctors will work with the agencies and the applicant, and they will decide based on the job duties of a basic peace officer if that person meets standards or doesn't meet standards, can perform the job or cannot perform the job. We're getting out of it. We're no longer going to look at eye charts. We're no longer going to look at hearing charts. That's for the doctors. That's for the medical personnel to do, and that's between them, the applicant, and the agency. So if the doctor signs off, the agency has the ability to hire any doctor that's Arizona Post certified. There's a couple hundred of them, Marlene, right, I think at this point in time. They have the option to hire whatever one of those doctors they want, and if that doctor says, we'll sign papers saying, I've done a full medical examination like the rule states, and that person meets what I believe to be the minimum qualifications, we're going to be good with that. So the agencies will still do a pre-employment medical screening. We just won't get the records anymore. All we'll get from them is a form from the doctor saying, and signed, this person meets, in my opinion, medically, the minimum qualifications to be a peace officer. So that's what we're asking for this substantive policy for your consideration. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. I can tell you that as going around the state and talking to police chiefs and sheriffs, everyone is very, I've never had anyone say they didn't like the direction of this substantive policy. They like the direction we're going. But again, with that, I'm happy to answer any question anyone might have.
Any questions from board members?
Matt, I do have a question. I think this is what you're speaking to, because I've got a case that's dealing with this very thing, and it's, I think it's hitting laterals pretty hard, is the hearing issue, after so many years of gunfire, and foamies in their ears.
For me, it was motorcycle riding on the city motorcycle.
But that being the case, so if somebody's struggling to meet what are AZ Post standards for passing a hearing standard, they may not be able to lateral into an agency. Whereas now we have the latitude to be able to work with the doctor on that and discern what we determine to be the standard for what we think is viable hearing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that really wouldn't change. The only difference is the agency head would have more latitude then. Because if the doctor was pushing back on them or said, hey, we don't believe this person meets the minimum qualifications, the agency could still, in essence, come to the board and petition that, saying, hey, our doctor said they don't meet minimum, what they believe the minimum standards, we'd still like to get an exception from the board. We could still do that. That would still be an option. But you're exactly right on the medical and the laterals. That's where we're seeing it a lot now. And a lot of it's the eyesight, a lot of it is hearing. And again, one of the issues for us was, if someone has that issue and they're working for an agency on Friday and they can't lateral, they can still work for that agency. There's nothing in the rules that say we have to do annual medical screenings, and they've been successful their entire career. So, again, that's why we'd like to get out of that business and let that be a discussion between the agency their doctor, and the actual applicant.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Victor, do we need a vote on this?
We would. We need a motion. I think I believe there's an actual proposed motion.
I don't
see one.
I don't
Yeah. It's the back. It's the back of the first page. If you look on the back, there's a suggested motion.
To make the motion, Mr. Chair, if you so.
I call for the motion. Any further discussion? Just make sure I get that in. I'll call for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move the substantive policy statement concerning the medical examination process in Rule 13-4-107 as reflected in this discussion be adopted and published in accordance with the Arizona Administrative Procedures Act.
Thank you, Director. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Colonel. Any further discussion on the motion? Thank you, Director and staff, for this. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, everybody involved in that. Next agenda item, final action cases. First case, 2022-077. Mr. Brackle, good morning. The floor is yours.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. In this consent agreement, the parties propose an 18-month suspension. And so back in December of 2021, Officer Ammon drove his personal vehicle while he was intoxicated. He caused a single vehicle reportable car accident. More specifically, he struck a street curb at a high rate of speed. He was arrested for extreme DUI. His BAC was .182, and he was subsequently terminated by his agency, the Tucson Police Department. The attached consent agreement reflects this information. The parties agree that Mr. Ammon's actions are in violation of post rules, specifically Rule 109, A8, and A12. The parties propose that the board impose an 18-month suspension beginning on April 3rd, 2022, and ending on October 3rd, 2023. And Mr. Ammon was, he may be here today or he may be here remote. If he's in the audience, if he would announce. All right, so he is not here. However, this was spoken to and agreed to between the parties to propose it to the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brackto. Any questions for Mr. Brackto? Comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for an 18-month suspension of Mr. Ammon's Peace Officer certification beginning April 3rd, 2021 and ending October 3rd, 2022.
Excuse me, this is Monique Cody, your independent advisor. I believe you have an updated motion. There was a discrepancy with the date, so if you could restate that with the new date.
I apologize, I had it right in front of me.
Thank you.
I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for an 18-month suspension of Mr. Ammon's Peace Officer certification beginning April 3rd of 2022 and ending October 3rd of 2023.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second. Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2020-157. Mr. Duran, over to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Gino Duran, your advocate attorney. Arizona Post staff and the respondent, William Gallego, offered the attached consent agreement for your review and approval. The respondent was previously employed with the Tucson Police Department. He is represented by attorney Josh Hamilton. Both Mr. Gallego and Mr. Hamilton are present remotely, I believe. And I want to point out error in the dates of paragraph number 2. This incident occurred on September 17, 2020. On September 17, 2020, Tucson PD officers responded to an emergency report of a fight in progress at a transit center in Tucson. A security guard at the center had called 911 to report witnessing a fight in which at least one person was armed with a knife. Responding officers located the suspect who was belligerent, screaming. He was detained in handcuffs without incident. The suspect continued to be uncooperative and refused to identify himself. At this time, the respondent, who was a senior officer, responded to assist. Respondent arrived and recognized the suspect from prior contacts. Shortly thereafter, the suspect intentionally spit at the respondent. The suspect did spit on the respondent's leg. In response, respondent briefly placed his left foot on the top of the suspect's head. then walked past the suspect and impacted the top of the suspect's head with both his right shin and the side of his left boot. The suspect was not injured, and he eventually pled guilty to criminal trespass. The Tucson Police Department, however, arrested the respondent, and he was charged with one count of aggravated assault. Respondent pled not guilty, and after much litigation on May 25th, 2022, the charge against him was dismissed with prejudice. Prior to this incident, respondent had received no formal discipline from the Tucson Police Department. The parties to the consent agreement agreed that respondent's actions are in violation of post rules. The parties proposed the board suspend respondent's peace officer certification retroactively for a period of 12 months, with the effective dates as listed in the agreement. This proposal is within the range of permissible discipline for peace officers who have committed similar misconduct, and I'm happy to answer any factual questions you may have.
Any questions for Mr. Duran? Director or Colonel, go ahead.
All right, so I want to clarify, because you made two statements. You said he spit at him and he spit on him. So,
which on him.
It spit on him, right?
On his pant leg, yes.
So he spit on him?
Yes, he did.
Okay. And so what was the assaultive behavior that he did to cause him to be arrested?
According to the Tucson Police Department, it was impacting the suspect's head with his leg and portion of his boot.
Was there any sign of physical injury?
No.
Did the officer ever admit to doing that? Was it captured on body camera?
There was body camera video, yes.
Was body camera video of him kicking the suspect, or did his leg come in contact with the suspect's head?
That's a matter for interpretation. There's contact between those parts and the suspect's head.
Colonel, if I could, at one point the suspect is lying on he's lying prone, and the respondent walks past him, and you see the impact between his shin and his boot to the top of the suspect's head.
Is it a malicious impact, or is it a happenstance?
Well, I mean, I think at that point you're asking for my opinion looking at the video. From my opinion looking at the video, I would say it was an intentional brushing of him. But, yeah, there was definitely no injury.
Well, we have a county attorney's office that's saying with prejudice dismissal for no sign of assault, correct?
That is 100% correct.
Well, it was the Superior Court judge that dismissed it with prejudice.
Okay. Yeah, excuse me. Thank you. I appreciate the clarification. So what do we have? What foundational evidence do we have that this officer assaulted this suspect who spit on him? Any?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question, sir?
I'm saying, what substantive evidence do we have anywhere that this officer specifically assaulted this suspect after he spit on him?
All I can say is, in response to that, and I believe the respondent is online if you prefer to ask him, but the suspect is in handcuffs. The respondent's shin and side of the boot makes contact with the suspect's head while he's in handcuffs.
All right. I guess we'll leave it to the respondent.
Any further questions for Mr. Duran? Hearing none. Mr. Hamilton, are you...
Sheriff Schuster, I'm sorry, Chairman.
Oh, go ahead, Sheriff.
Did have one question.
Go ahead, Sheriff.
Just a quick clarification. In cases like these where we do have body cam, can that body cam footage be made available to the board to take away some of these questions that we're having on, you know, actuality that occurred? I'm just curious. I guess the question would be for Matt. Is that something that we can have access to?
It is. It's something we have done in the past. We don't do it for every case, but we could do that if the board requests such.
Okay. Thank you.
Sheriff, we can come back to that here as we collectively, after we hear the counselor and Mr. Gallego speak here in a minute. Mr. Hamilton, did you want to address the board?
Yes. Is the board able to hear me?
Yes, we are. The floor is yours. Good morning.
Good morning. I don't have much to add to Mr. Duran's presentation. I would just further add that it was the county attorney that moved to dismiss the charges with prejudice, and the judge simply, you know, granted the county attorney's motion. So this was not a situation where, you know, some kind of procedural defect or what have you led a judge to grant the motion. This was the county attorney, upon reviewing the matter for itself, determined that dismissal with prejudice was the appropriate resolution of the criminal matter. The judge merely signed the order.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Hamilton, you want to address this board with?
Yes, just about Mr. Gallego, who's present here in my office in a different room within the building, so that there's no feedback. He is a good police officer. He's been a police officer for nearly 20 years. He was a sheriff's deputy with the Pima County Sheriff's Office. Then he transitioned to the Tucson Police Department. I can avow to the board that I've been contacted by numerous leaders within the law enforcement community here in Southern Arizona, all of whom have expressed unyielding support for Mr. Gallego. I think this was an isolated incident. As Mr. Duran explained, it was a very chaotic situation. It happened in a matter of seconds. The contact was minimal. There were no injuries whatsoever. I think the decision to handle the matter the way it was, if I can speak openly and freely and honestly, I think the way that he was treated initially was unfair and improper. I'm glad that the criminal matter was resolved the way it was, but Mr. Gallego did go through tremendous hardship, which he's still going through. Police work is a learning experience. All police officers are continually improving their skills. There is no such thing as a police officer who's never made a mistake. But Mr. Gallego has a blemishless, almost two-decade-long law enforcement career, and he is eager to get back into the field of law enforcement. So my request is that this board, if it does consider imposing any form of discipline upon Mr. Gallego, that it be retroactive as contained in the consent agreement, so that he is afforded an opportunity to continue his career in law enforcement, which is his hope and desire.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Any questions for Mr. Hamilton before we listen to any questions?
I have a question.
Director Boyd.
Can you advise, it expresses that TPD opened up both an admin and criminal investigation. The officer resigned, which resulted in a termination report to post. What was the administrative investigation results and discipline for this officer?
Gino Durant, sir, I believe that once the respondent resigned, the administrative investigation was essentially closed because he was no longer an employee.
Thank you.
What Mr. Duran just said was my understanding as well. I, as Mr. Gallego's attorney, I have not received any indication whatsoever of any kind of resolution or findings of the internal investigation, you know, the professional conduct investigation. I don't believe there was one after he resigned. If there was, it's not something that's been made available to me.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm sure you want to hear from the respondent, but I just wanted to advise that if the board wants to see body camera, I'm sure we can make arrangements to do that. And also, if you look on your potential motions, the board has the ability to reject the agreement, also has the ability to dismiss the complaint in its entirety. Just so you know what your options are.
Thank you, Mr. Duran. Once we hear from Mr. Gallego, the wishes of the board, if we want to see the video, we'll put her up there. So. Mr. Gallego, can you hear me? Mr. Gallego, are you there?
He is here. If he's having technical difficulties in the conference room, I can bring him here into my office and seat him at my desk so that you're able to hear from him.
Yeah. Is that the board's preference? Yes.
Okay, we'll do that right now.
Mr. Duran, is that video available? I know Sheriff Schuster didn't get a chance prior during the initial proceedings with us. Is that video available today to see?
It's not queued up, sir. I mean, it's in the building. I don't know how.
Could we prepare to do that possibly? I think some of the members would probably want to see that one again.
Members of the board, Mr. Gallego is present here now at my desk, so it'll still show on the Google meeting that it's me talking, but it is he.
All righty. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Mr. Gallego, good morning. The opportunity for you to address the board is now. I'll turn it over to you if you wish.
Good morning. I just wanted to say thank you for allowing me to speak and having this board meeting today. Everything that Mr. Hamilton has said is confirmed that nothing was intentional. I have gone through some hardships in the last almost 2 years. I do miss my law enforcement family. I have learned a lot of lessons during this time, and I am ready to proceed with my career. I know things could have been different the day in question. My actions, I'm responsible for my actions. And I just hope that the board can consider my reputation, how many years I've been with the police department. I was a field training officer. I've done undercover investigations without any issues. I've been on the street training officers, being in plain clothes. And this is my career is very important to me and my family. But if there's any other questions I could answer, I could do that.
Any questions for Mr. Gallego?
And Mr. Gallego, Colonel Silver, have a question. Tell me what it was you felt after the suspect spit on you.
Well, during that situation with the COVID epidemic, everything was going strong with that, and I was very concerned for my safety as far as, you know, being exposed to any type of pathogen, airborne pathogen, especially COVID, my coworkers as well. I'm going to be honest, I felt like I was disrespected, and my uniform means a lot to me. The image of being a police officer, I don't never expected that something like this would happen. And being in the Marine Corps, a former Marine, I take a lot of pride in my uniform. And I guess I could say I was frustrated, maybe a little upset, and I probably should have disengaged from the situation and kept myself in check. I just, through the whole night, after even thinking about it, days after, months after, I know that things could have been differently, and this is never going to happen again.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any further questions from Mr. Gallego?
We can show the video now if you'd like.
Yeah, let me ask one quick question. Sir, and this is unique. I have one question for you, Mr. Gallego. You resigned during the administrative investigation on this. Can you explain why?
Okay. So during the situation, I was called back two times for an interview down at the Internal Affairs Office. They rejected me twice. They called me back again. During this, the course of this situation, the union, Tucson Police Officers Association, I felt abandoned me. They were telling me that if I resigned, that I could keep.
Suffice it to say, he was given, without getting into any specifics, he spoke with a board union person, and I think it would constitute legal advice or at least privileged communication. So I'm not comfortable with him answering that.
And I respect that. I just obviously the question is posed.
So the board's aware, without betraying any confidences, Mr. Gallego kind of felt in that moment that he was being, the situation was going to go a certain way, and that it was best for him to do that at the time, given who was in charge at the department at the time. And I'll just leave it at that.
All righty. If we can watch the video, that'd be great.
Mariano.
I know who you are.
who the fuck I am, bro.
Come on, bro. You have to do that?
Yeah.
Really?
You have to do that? Yeah, I had to do that, dog.
Sure. You little bitch.
Hey, if you want to...
What?
What? When you meet me up in the gates of heaven, bro, I'm the only motherfucker that can bless water. I'm the only one that can bless water. And you're going to do that to me? All right. All right. So fuck you and your fucking family. Yeah, excuse you.
All right. Thank you to the staff of Pulse for bringing that up for us. Mr. Durant, always give final comments.
I have none first.
Okay. Any comments from the board discussion? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion.
Colonel?
I move to reject the proposed consent agreement and dismiss the complaint in this matter.
Thank you, Colonel. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Was that Chief? Chief.
Further discussion?
Hearing none. All in favor of the motion? So you're saying aye?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Chief, I got you.
Nay.
Those. Mr. Johnson is a nay. Anybody else? I hear that. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, everybody involved. Next case, 2021-123. Mr. Duran, back to you. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Mr. Blake. Oh, Chief, you're muted.
Thank you. I'm going to recuse myself.
Okay, for the record, no, Chief Williams is recused on this one. Mr. Duran, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This matter was first presented to the board on June 15, 2022. The board voted to table the matter at that time in order to review additional information. I'll briefly summarize the agreement to refresh the board's memory of the case. Respondent is currently employed by the Phoenix Police Department. He is represented by his attorney, Cassidy Bacon. They are both present. This consent agreement covered misconduct committed by respondent on two occasions. First, on February 6, 2020, the respondent conducted a traffic stop. The respondent detained the driver in handcuffs for failing to provide the insurance and registration. However, later told his supervisor he had detained the driver for failure to provide ID, which was not true. Respondent also failed to properly impound marijuana located in the vehicle as required and failed to complete a departmental report. The second incident occurred on June 13th. While respondent was off duty and driving his personal vehicle in Gilbert, on that date, a Gilbert Police Department officer pulled him over for several traffic violations. The traffic stop led to a DUI investigation, which revealed respondent's blood alcohol level was 0.236. Respondent was convicted of extreme DUI in the Gilbert Municipal Court. The parties to the consent agreement agree that respondent's actions are in violation of post rules, and the parties have proposed the board suspend respondent's peace officer certification for a period of 18 months. Again, the board has the authority to accept or reject this agreement. If the board should choose to approve it, I would ask the board amend the agreement to indicate the suspension will begin at a later date, potentially this Monday, August 22nd, with credit for the periods listed in the agreement. If the board should choose to reject the agreement, it would be helpful to the parties to know why and what level of discipline the board feels would be appropriate. This would help us to reach a new agreement or demonstrate the need to adjudicate this matter formally before an administrative law judge.
Thank you, Mr. Duran. Was that?
That's it, sir.
Okay, thanks. Make sure there's a period in that statement. Any questions for Mr. Duran? Not all. Let's cast it. Ms. Bacon, excuse me. Good morning.
Good morning. Cassidy Bacon for Officer Guzman. As Mr. Duran indicated, this was presented at your June meeting, so I don't want to take up too much of your time. But I do want to make a few points because it's my understanding that the board had wanted to review the internal affairs report regarding the false statement and that it had the opportunity to do so. So I want to let the board know that internal affairs doesn't always get it right. They don't always present the facts fairly, and usually when that happens, officers have the ability to appeal. They can appeal the findings, they can appeal the discipline. That was not the case here. Because there were two investigations simultaneously, the DUI and the traffic stop, when it came time for discipline, the two got lumped together, and it was presented as a take-it-or-leave-it deal. He was given two options. He could accept a 240-hour suspension for the DUI and a 24-hour suspension for the traffic stop and forego his appeal rights, or he could be terminated and spend the next 6 months trying to get his job back.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to object at this point. I think we're outside the scope of the terms of the agreement. The board has the agreement. We know what the respondent has admitted to doing, and the board should base, in my opinion, the board should base its decision based on what's in the consent agreement, the conduct, and the admitted behavior. We kind of got off the rails at the last meeting where this matter was brought up. If counsel wants to withdraw from the consent agreement, if she doesn't agree with the findings, that's fine. But here we're discussing what the respondent has admitted to by his signature in the agreement. That's my objection.
Thank you, Mr. Rand. You have a response?
Yes. The reason that we're here today is because the board wanted to consider information that was outside the original consent agreement. Because it did so, I think that there are certain points regarding that the alleged false statement that need to be clarified, which is what I'm attempting to do.
I would focus, and this is, board members, feel free to add, I would focus on the internal that we asked to review, which has been completed. Focus on that, please, and then we'll go back to Mr. Grant, what you're asking.
This board reviewed the internal affairs report, but it did not review the entire investigation. PSB, you saw their conclusion that Officer Guzman lied to a supervisor. However, if you reviewed the interviews, you'd know that that's not quite the case. The supervisor was asked about his conversation with Officer Guzman regarding his justification for the detention. At between 8 minutes and 8 minutes and 30 seconds of the interview, he was asked, did Officer Guzman tell you whether or not the driver gave him his identification? And this is prior to the arrest. The sergeant replies, he said he got it, but it was either after a period of time or at the last possible second as he was pulling him out. That was the way I understood it. So that did not make it into PSB's report, which I think begs the question, if the sergeant knew, as he says he did in his interview, then what is the basis for the false statement? I don't believe that there is one. PSB alleged that the false statement was that he told them, or he told his supervisor that the reason he made the arrest, the reason he put him in handcuffs, was because he failed to provide the ID. The supervisor acknowledged to PSB that he knew that at the time he made that arrest, he had already provided the ID. Nonetheless, Officer Guzman is ready to put this behind him, which is why he's agreed to the consent agreement. I am happy to answer any questions. Officer Guzman is here as well and can answer questions, too.
Thank you. Any questions for board members for either? Thank you. Thank you both for being here. Mr. Rand, final thoughts?
Nothing further.
Any discussion, or I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to accept the proposed consent agreement for an 18-month suspension of Mr. Guzman's peace officer certification. The dates of suspension will be those that are listed in the consent agreement.
Sheriff Daniels, members of the board, this is your independent advisor, Monique Cody. As Mr. Duran pointed out, the dates in the consent agreement presume that this would have been approved at your last meeting, so Mr. Duran was asking you to consider the 15 and a half approximate months moving forward. The consent agreement states prospectively May 23rd, 2022 through September 2nd, 2023. It's up to you whether you want to keep those dates or whether you want to make those more current with today's date. So I just wanted to point that out because Mr. Duran did ask you to consider revising those prospective dates.
Thank you, Monique. Chief, you want to stay with the dates or you want to alter that?
Well, actually, Chairman, can I make a comment?
Sure.
Monique, correct me if I'm wrong, but we can't suspend him. The board cannot suspend him for time where he was operating as a peace officer, correct?
That is correct, and that would be the legal basis for changing.
So they don't have the option to keep those dates. They'd have to. It'd all be prospective, correct?
That is correct. So since that being the case, just to make things easier, you could revise the motion to include an 18-month suspension, dates already served, prospective date, August 23rd, 2022, ending in August, October, November, December. I'm trying to think of doing math in my head. I was trying to make it easy with this date.
couldn't we just say 15 months, right?
It'd be about 15 and a half months. So the prior dates were May 23rd, 2022 through September 2nd. Consistently, it would be August 23rd, 2022 through December 2nd, 2023.
I'd just like to remind the board that Officer Guzman has been in a non-enforcement position since June of 2020.
Colonel, can we go back before the motion? I do have a question of clarity.
Sure, so go ahead. We can do it.
Yes, ma'am, the question would be directed at you. Was he sustained of dishonesty at the Phoenix Police Discipline Review Board?
I don't believe he went to the Disciplinary Review Board. I believe it just went straight to the assistant chief. PSB did sustain a false statement to the supervisor.
Like I mentioned, he was not able to appeal that given the timing with the other. So PSB did sustain that. Well, that doesn't make sense. The chain of command has to sustain it,
I would think,
right?
PSB sustains it, and then chain of command imposes discipline.
Yeah. Okay, but on a dishonesty, that's more than an 8-hour suspension unless something changed to Phoenix PD. That has to go to a DRB.
No, it's well, there's a writer that lives in class 1, which is an 8 or 24-hour suspension, and those can go straight to the assistant chief.
Okay, for just for Picot, because for Phoenix PD, they have a differentiation with pre Garrity.
Correct.
So he was sustained of a lie pre Garrity.
Pre Garrity to a supervisor. Otherwise, I mentioned the supervisor doesn't believe it.
Okay. And then I'll ask this. What was his level of cooperation with Gilbert PD at the DUI?
He was 100% cooperative. And that is all on body cam.
So, well, I'm going to ask him. Were you suspended? Were you on admin leave when you got arrested for the DUI?
No, sir.
Okay. You're just under investigation?
Yes, sir. I was behind the desk for... I've been behind the desk.
Okay, but they pulled, when they were investigating you for the dishonesty, the pre-Garrity dishonesty, they pulled you off the street?
No, sir.
I would ask you to come to the microphone, too. So
he was not ever under investigation for pre-Garrity dishonesty. The actual investigation regarded the traffic stop in general, and then PSC added there was that additional information came out, and they felt that that was dishonest. That came out during the investigation. Is actually under investigation for the traffic stop and whether or not the arrest was appropriate.
Any further questions? No, I'm good. Okay. I'm going to go back to the author of the motion, Chief, with adding the further additional discussion. If you want to amend your motion.
Can you give me the dates again?
So the two parties had agreed to an 18-month suspension. The consent agreement have several different dates. I don't know what those add up to, but to make it prospective, instead of May 23rd, 2022, it would be August 23rd, 2022 through December 2nd, 2023. To make it 18 months. I
think I got it now. Not sure. Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to accept the 18-month consent agreement to suspend his peace officer certification between August 23rd, 2022 to December 2nd, 2023.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, sir. Any further discussion?
For clarification, the number of months suspension with this is just an adjustment to the last section.
Because we tabled it for a month.
Okay.
Or, yeah, actually 2 months now. Did I get that, Ms. Kelly? Are we good? Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, say I'm saying aye.
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 All opposed, say I'm saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, McKenzie. Thank you, sir. Next case, 2022-039. Splankel, good morning. Floor is yours.
Thank you.
Michelle Blanco, one of your compliance specialists. The board initiated proceedings against Taylor River Police Department Ranger Adrian Antone's police officer certification on May 18, 2022. Complaint notices were mailed to Ranger Antone by both regular and certified U.S. mail to his address of record. The notices sent by regular mail was not returned to Arizona Post, and certified letter was picked up at the post office by an individual on June 3, 2022. To date, neither Ranger Antone nor anyone representing him contacted Arizona Post to request a hearing. To briefly summarize this case, on June 18, 2021, Ranger Antone was scheduled to complete Arizona Post remedial handgun training at the Gila River Police Department shooting range. He arrived at the range late, driving his fully marked police ranger vehicle and wearing his duty uniform. While participating in dry fire training, he was observed wobbling and swaying and breathing heavily. A strong odor of intoxicating beverages was detected when officers spoke to Ranger Antone. His eyes were watery, reddish, and his speech was slightly slurred. Ranger Antone was removed from the range and asked if he had been drinking. He said he was drinking alcoholic beverages the night before. Ranger Antone submitted to a PBT while at the range, and evidence of alcohol was found to be present. Ranger Antone was transported to a lab to complete a four-cause drug and alcohol urine test. Test results indicated a 0.037 BAC. Ranger Antone was placed on administrative leave and an internal investigation was initiated. The Gila River Police Department subsequently sustained an allegation of misconduct. Ranger Antone received a 40-hour suspension without pay, a 90-day performance improvement plan, and an administrative duty assignment while he completed a formal alcohol counseling program. To date, Ranger Antone is still employed in a uniform capacity. Based on the facts of the case, staff recommends the board revoke Ranger Antone's peace officer certification. And I'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
Thank you, Ms. Blanco. Any questions for Ms. Blanco? If not, any comments? Discussion? Or I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusion of law and revoke Mr. Anton's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Second. Terry Blaine.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-104, findings of fact. Ms. Blanco, back to you.
Michelle Blanco, again. The board initiated proceedings against former Maricopa Police Department Officer Narthea Demp, peace officer certification, on May 18, 2022. Complaint notices were mailed to former Officer Demp by both regular and certified U.S. mail to her address of record. The notices sent by regular mail was not returned to Arizona Post, and a certified letter was delivered to an individual at the address on May 22, 2022. To date, neither Officer Dent nor anyone representing her contacted Arizona Post to request a hearing. To briefly summarize this case, City of Maricopa Police Detectives sent three departmental emails informing personnel of probable cause to arrest a female named Rosalyn after she fired a handgun inside her residence while arguing with her husband. After reading these emails, Officer Dent reviewed the criminal report. She was familiar with Rosalyn through social media and contacted her via Facebook Messenger. Officer Dent discussed details of the criminal investigation and encouraged Rosalyn to turn herself in during their messaging. The following day, a search warrant was conducted at Rosalyn's home, and she was taken into custody. During the search, ammunition and a holster were found. However, no firearms were located. Rosalyn was subsequently arrested and disclosed that a little birdie had contacted her and told her about the case. An administrative investigation was initiated, and it was determined Officer Dentz reviewed a police report she was not involved in, contacted the suspect, Rosalyn, and informed her of details of the investigation. Officer Dentz failed to notify the case detective of her involvement, did not record her contact with Rosalyn, and did not initially document her involvement. Officer Dentz claimed to contact her contact with Rosalyn was for the purpose of encouraging her to turn herself in and not to jeopardize the investigation. The Maricopa Police Department sustained several policy violations against Officer Dentz, and she was terminated on June 18, 2021. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board to revoke Officer Dentz's police officer certification, and I'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
Thank you, Ms. Blanco. Any questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Ms. White.
I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and revoke Ms. Dempse's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Ms. White. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Chief. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, see I say an aye.
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 All opposed and say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Blanco. Next case, 2019-134, findings of fact. Mr. Bradshaw, and let the record show Mr. Johnson is recused from this one.
I'm recused.
Also, the Colonel's recused on this one, too. Sandy. Good morning, Mr. Bradshaw. The floor is yours.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Richard Bradshaw, one of your compliance specialists. This case was originally brought to you in the June 2022 board meeting where you voted to initiate proceedings. I'm going to briefly recap this case. Tremaine Jackson worked for the Arizona Department of Public Safety from December 2005 to September 2019. An internal investigation conducted by the Arizona Department of Public Safety concluded between October 30th, 2018 and March 17th, 2019, Trooper Jackson used his authority as an on-duty uniformed trooper to commit the following felonies: kidnapping, solicitation of unlawful sexual conduct, sexual abuse, unlawful imprisonment, forgery of a written instrument, and fraudulent schemes and bribery. On May 17, 2019, a complaint was received by the Arizona Department of Public Safety alleging misconduct by Trooper Tremaine Jackson during a traffic stop involving a female driver. Arizona DPS initiated an investigation on June 11, 2019. A second complaint came forward alleging misconduct by Trooper Jackson. The second complaint also involved a traffic stop of a female driver. You have the details of those traffic stops in front of you. Based on the nature of the allegations, both criminal and internal investigations followed, and after being given a notice of investigation, Trooper Jackson was interviewed by the internal investigators on September 10, 2019, and denied having any physical contact with the women. He did admit to obtaining their personal contact information in hopes of making future contact. The criminal investigation identified four additional women who came forward with similar allegations, and on September 19, 2019, a grand jury issued an indictment of Trooper Jackson for 23 felony charges against the six victims. Trooper Jackson was terminated from the Arizona Department of Public Safety on September 10, 2019. His criminal case is pending in the Arizona Superior Court, Maricopa County. Complaint notices were mailed to former Trooper Jackson by both regular and certified U.S. mail to his address of record. The notice sent by regular mail was not returned to Arizona Post, and the certified letter was delivered to an individual at the address on July 8, 2022. To date, neither former Trooper Jackson nor anyone representative has requested a hearing or contacted Arizona Post staff. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board revoke certification, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bradshaw. Any questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Jamie Kelly. I move to accept the findings of facts and conclusions of law and revoke Mr. Jackson's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2022-013. Mr. Bradshaw, back to you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and Board, this case was originally brought to you on April 2022 board meeting, where you voted to initiate proceedings. And I'll briefly recap the case. Leo Thompson Jr. worked for the White Mountain Apache Police Department from September 2002 to January 2022. On December 9th, 2021, Officer Leo Thompson provided false information to a polygraph examiner when he stated he did not intentionally record a conversation with his co-worker, Captain Lehigh. On November 11th, 2021, Officer Thompson made a phone call to Captain Lehigh, referenced a call he was working. During the conversation, Officer Thompson intentionally turned on his body-worn camera and recorded the conversation without Captain Lehigh's knowledge, which is an agency policy violation. During an internal investigation, post-Garrity admonishment, it was believed Officer Thompson was not being truthful and forthcoming in his responses. On December 9, 2021, Officer Thompson was given a polygraph to further evaluate his truthfulness. The polygrapher questioned the truthfulness of his previous answer, and Officer Thompson admitted he had not been truthful. Officer Thompson admitted he knowingly and intentionally recorded the cell phone conversation with Captain Lehigh. All policy and procedure violations for the White Mountain Apache Police Department and White Mountain Apache Tribe were sustained. Officer Thompson resigned in lieu of termination. Complaint notices were mailed to former Officer Thompson by both regular and certified mail to the address of record. The notice sent by regular mail was not returned to Arizona Post, and the certified letter was delivered on June 13, 2022, and marked return to sender. To date, neither Officer Thompson nor anyone representing him has requested a hearing or contacted Arizona Post staff. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board revoke certification, and I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Bradshaw. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusion of law and revoke Mr. Thompson's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Bradshaw. Next case, 2021-004, findings of fact. Mr. Caldwell, good morning. The floor is yours.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Billy Caldwell, one of your compliance specialists. I have two final action cases for you today, and the first one is Brian Ellsworth, formerly with the City of Thatcher Police Department. The board initiated proceedings against Ellsworth's peace officer certification on May 18, 2022. Complaint notices were sent to his address of record via certified and regular mail. The certified mailing was picked up from the post office on May 31, 2022, and the notice sent by regular mail was not returned to AZ Post. To date, neither Ellsworth nor anyone representing him have requested a hearing. To briefly summarize this case, in December 2020, a woman named Morgan reported that she had been sexually assaulted by Ellsworth. Morgan met Ellsworth through her job as a dispatcher with the Graham County Sheriff's Department, or Sheriff's Office, correction. The two developed a personal relationship, and she said she and Officer Ellsworth engaged in public displays of affection in a patrol vehicle during his Thatcher PD shifts. On another occasion, she performed a sex act on Officer Ellsworth while he was on duty. The two also had sexual intercourse in a police vehicle when Officer Ellsworth was working an off-duty job funded by the Department of Homeland Security. a Stone Garden detail. On another date, Morgan had sexual intercourse twice with Ellsworth while he was working security at Eastern Arizona College, once in a vehicle and again in the security office at the school. The approximate date range of these incidents is listed in the overview you have in front of you, but essentially they all occurred between August and October of 2020. Investigators concluded the sexual acts were consensual in nature, and when the county attorney declined to prosecute, the criminal case was closed. Officer Ellsworth resigned from Thatcher PD and was never interviewed about any of the allegations. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board suspend Ellsworth's peace officer certification from August 17, 2022, which is today, until January 5th, 2024, at which time the certification will lapse. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Mr. Caldwell, any questions? I'll entertain a motion.
I want to move to accept the findings and facts, conclusions of the law, and revoke peace officer certification of Ryan Ellsworth.
Second.
Was that you, Deputy?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we have a second. We have a motion by the Colonel, second by the Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-133, findings of fact. Mr. Caldwell, back to you.
Billy Caldwell, with your compliance specialist again. This is a case involving Michael Phillips, formerly with the City of Florence Police Department. The board initiated proceedings against Phillips' peace officer certification on May 18, 2022. Complaint notices were sent to his address of record via certified and regular mail. The certified mailing was delivered on May 31, 2022. And the notice sent by regular mail was not returned to AZ Post. To date, neither Phillips nor anyone representing him have requested a hearing. To briefly summarize this case, in March 2020, Phillips resigned from the Florence Police Department after allegations emerged that he was possibly involved in the use of illegal drugs. There was no formal criminal investigation. The IA case was closed after he left the agency, and the Post Board voted to resolve the matter in the future during the May 2021 board meeting. Then, on July 30th, 2021, Pinal County deputies stopped a vehicle driven by Phillips. A passenger was arrested after he was found to be in possession of methamphetamine. Deputies then searched the vehicle and found 240 suspected fentanyl pills, a large quantity of suspected methamphetamine, various other prescription medications, including oxycodone, drug paraphernalia, suspected heroin, a notebook that apparently recorded various drug transactions, a 9mm handgun, and 6 cellular phones. A later examination of the phones revealed evidence of drug sales. Phillips was arrested and charged with various drug-related felonies, as well as misconduct involving weapons. His case is still pending in Pinal County Superior Court. I actually checked earlier this week, and motions are still being filed in the case. So I don't even think we have a set or a firm trial date yet, but again, the case is still pending. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board revoke Phillips' peace officer certification, and I'd be glad to answer any questions the board might have.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and revoke Mr. Phillips' peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Colonel. Got you in there. It's a third, Chief.
Okay, cool.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify saying aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries.
Thank you,
Mr. Caldwell.
I've got to recuse for the next two cases.
For the next two cases, Andy, if we can, Colonel is recused. Next case, 2021-243, findings of fact. Echo, good morning. The floor is yours.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Arlene Heckel, one of your compliance specialists. This case was originally brought to you in the April 2022 meeting where you voted to initiate proceedings. I'm going to give you a brief recap of this case. Michael Carvajal worked for the Arizona Department of Public Safety from April 2015 to December of 2021. On November 21, 2021, Trooper Carvajal was watching football at his home with his roommates. He stopped drinking alcohol about 1,800 hours. Later in the evening, Trooper Carvajal decided to drive to a friend's house. Officer Hines with Phoenix PD was working and driving his fully marked police vehicle. He noticed a vehicle swerve into his lane, and he had to take evasive action to avoid a collision. He turned around and initiated a traffic stop on the vehicle driven by Trooper Carvajal. Officer Hines noticed signs of impairment, and he conducted the horizontal gaze nystagmus test and observed 6 clues. Trooper Carvajal was unable to complete any of the other standardized field sobriety tests. Trooper Carvajal was arrested for driving under the influence and was taken to the precinct where his blood was drawn for testing. Phoenix PD contacted DPS and advised them of the arrest. DPS initiated an internal investigation. The scientific analysis results from the blood sample from Trooper Carvajal returned with a blood alcohol concentration of 0.244. Charges were submitted for DUI, extreme DUI, and passing violation. On December 3rd, 2021, Trooper Carvajal was interviewed by Internal Affairs. He estimated he drank 12 to 15 shots of vodka prior to driving and could feel the effects. of the alcohol, but drove anyway. On December 13, 2021, Trooper Carvajal resigned from DPS. Complaint notices were mailed to Trooper Carvajal's address of record by regular and certified U.S. mail. The certified letter was delivered on June 3, 2022 at 10:34 hours. To date, neither Trooper Carvajal or anyone representing him has contacted AG Post to request a hearing. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate a 12-month suspension of certification beginning April 20th, 2022 and ending on April 21st, 2023. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Heckle. Any questions? Also, Sandy, you know, Chief Vasquez has left the room during this. All righty. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Joe Porfiri, I move to accept the findings of facts and conclusions of law and suspend Mr. Carvajal's peace officer certification for 12 months beginning April 20th, 2022 and ending April 21st, 2023.
Thank you, Director. Do I hear a second?
I second the motion.
Okay. On the end there. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2020-191, finds of fact. Ms. Heckle, back to you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Arlene Heckle again. This case was originally brought to you in May of 2022 board meeting where you voted to initiate proceedings. A brief recap of this case is follows. Abbas Hajeg worked for the Arizona Department of Public Safety from October 2018 to October 2020. Prior to applying for DPS, Trooper Hajeg applied to U.S. Customs and Border Patrol in 2014 and again in 2016. He disclosed in his DPS hiring process that he had failed his polygraph exams and had been disqualified. During the DPS hiring process, they were unable to get any information from the Border Patrol regarding those application processes. In October of 2020, a DPS detective received information that Trooper Hajeg may have given different information to DPS than he gave to Border Patrol in his hiring processes. An internal investigation was initiated, and DPS was able to obtain information from Border Patrol on the reasons they did not hire Trooper Hajeg. It was discovered that he did not disclose the following. One, a domestic confrontation causing injury, a possible theft from a repossessed home, attending a Hezbollah training camp in Lebanon prior to moving to the U.S., and that he was investigated by the FBI after he disclosed to Border Patrol about attending the training camp. None of that information was documented by Trooper Hajeg in the Arizona Post personal history form or on a DPS personal history form, even though there were specific questions asking for that information. Trooper Hajeg also did not disclose any of that information during a background interview or the polygraph interview. In October of 2020, Trooper Hajeg was interviewed telephonically due to him being out of the country for an extended period of time. He admitted that he did not disclose any of that to DPS hiring. Trooper Hajeg resigned from DPS. Complaint notices were mailed to former Trooper Hajeg by regular and certified U.S. mail to his local Arizona address, and the certified letter was returned. A notice was mailed to his Canadian address, but it is unknown if that was delivered. I was able to have email contact with former Trooper Hajeg and emailed him the complaint notice. To date, neither former Trooper Hajeg or anyone representing him has requested a hearing or contacted Arizona Post staff. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board revoke certification, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Hegel. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and revoke Mr. Hajeg's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Commander. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. I'm going to go back to case number two at this time. And that is case number 2020-193, consent agreement. Mr. Brachtel, please.
Chairman, I'm sorry. We're actually going to do that as the last.
Oh, the total last.
The total last. Right after the final new action case, we'll do this one.
I should have known that because I didn't see Mr. Brachtel making his trail up here. I apologize for
he
that.
He does like the podium, sir.
I know when something's coming. He's coming this way. So, okay, we'll put that there. All right, we're going to move to item G, new cases. First case up is 2022-015. Blanco, back to you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Michelle Blanco again. This dishonesty case involves former Tohono O'odham Nation police officer Jose Luis Duarte. Officer Duarte was untruthful to his supervisor when he left his assigned area early without permission and was on his way home. Officer Duarte documented his dishonesty in a departmental memorandum to a sergeant Cook. On February 23, 2020, Officer Duarte failed to respond to priority calls for service and failed to answer a phone call from his supervisor, Sergeant Robledo. Officer Duarte returned Sergeant Robledo's phone call and claimed he was in a rural area on the I-10 freeway and he was unable to respond to radio traffic. On February 24, 2020, Officer Duarte called Sergeant Cook and advised he was going to be honest and not lie anymore. Officer Duarte went on to state he left his assigned area at approximately 0100 hours and drove to San Xavier substation to clock out at 0200 hours. Officer Duarte indicated he lied to Sergeant Robledo and dispatch about where he was when they contacted him. Officer Duarte stated he knew it was wrong to leave his assigned area to drive to San Xavier to clock out. Officer Duarte wrote a memo to document this incident that read in part, quote, "I told Sergeant Robledo incorrect information in immediate fear, knowing I had made a poor decision. I told him I did not hear the radio due to being in a rough area for signal. I lied to Sergeant Robledo and telling him what time I had left the main nation," unquote. Sergeant Cook recommended termination. However, Officer Duarte resigned on March 19, 2020. Based on the facts of the case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Blunt. Any questions? Hearing none, entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Duarte's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case. Thank you, Ms. Blanco. Next case, 2021-154. Mr. Caldwell, back to you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Billy Caldwell again. I actually have the next two cases for you. This first one is regarding Christopher Panton. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. In 2019, Mr. Panton was appointed by the Phoenix Police Department. He graduated from the police academy but had performance issues during field training, and he resigned, citing personal reasons. In 2021, he applied with the Central Arizona College Police Department and was appointed by the agency after a background investigation. Arizona Post staff reviewed Panton's file and asked for clarification on an issue involving his arrest by the Tempe Police Department in 1999. Excuse me. When Central Arizona looked into the matter, they discovered discrepancies in the information Panton provided during the hiring process with them, including the following. He failed to disclose five law enforcement agencies he applied to. One of those agencies was Mesa PD, and they actually disqualified him from making inconsistent statements during the hiring process. He reported no uses of another person's prescription medication during the Central Arizona College hiring process, and this was inconsistent with previous applications with Phoenix and Maricopa County. He also failed to disclose his 1999 arrest by Tempe PD for assault, and he did not divulge a previous driver's license suspension. Panton was questioned by Central Arizona College Police Department investigators and cited confusion for the reason he failed to report his arrest in 1999. Central Arizona determined Panton was untruthful during the hiring process, and when they submitted the termination report for him to Arizona Post, they alleged misconduct on his part. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be glad to answer any questions before we move on.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Any questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Panton's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Detective. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Any further discussion? Okay, I didn't have that on my notes. Okay. So noted. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-198. Mr. Caldwell, back to you.
Chairman, members of the board. In 2021, Salt River PD supervisors counseled Corporal Spencer Stant for performance issues at work. When problems persisted, the agency initiated an internal investigation, which revealed 30 missing departmental reports he should have completed, as well as 9 missing incident or supplemental reports. The involved cases included thefts, burglaries, and other criminal incidents. Near the same time, a school in Salt River filed a complaint that Corporal Stant was habitually at the campus and has disrupted school activities. GPS returns indicate that between June and August of 2021, Stant went to the school 18 times while on duty, and on 14 of those occasions, he left his beat without permission from from a supervisor. Salt River PD also learned that on July 20th, 2021, Corporal Stant located drug paraphernalia during an investigation, but failed to place the items in evidence or submit charging documents. When questioned about all these issues, Corporal Stant stated he was overwhelmed at work, he allowed personal problems to interfere with his job, and admitted he went to the school on multiple occasions but did so to visit his girlfriend who worked there. He was also formerly a school resource officer actually assigned to that campus. So he alleged or claimed that his visits did not disrupt any kind of school activities there. Stan apparently completed all the missing reports after receiving orders from his chain of command, and overall there was likely minimal effect on criminal or civil cases as a result of his actions. He also found the missing drug paraphernalia in his patrol bag and impounded it a little over a month after the incident occurred. Salt River sustained various allegations against Corporal Stan related to job performance, and he was terminated from the agency. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Any questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Stant's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
I second.
A lot of seconds. I like it. Colonel, you got the bid, though. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-089. Ms. Hawes, good morning. And also for the record, Mr. Johnson is recused on this one.
Sorry, the chair kind of surprised me. It's really low. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you well.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Kathy Hawes, one of your compliance specialists. On September 30th, 2020, Officer Emmanuel Castro, formerly with the Nogales Police Department, used a CJIS for other than law enforcement purposes when he called his personal cell phone to make a Nogales, to have a Nogales PD dispatcher run the plate on a vehicle he saw parked in front of the post office in Nogales. The vehicle came back as registered to him. He knew it didn't belong to him because he had signed the title over to Victor on June 1st, 2020, in exchange for work Victor had performed at Castro's property. After he finished his assigned shift on September 30th, 2020, he went home, changed clothes, and went back and took possession of the vehicle without anyone's permission, and it took it to his sister's house. Later in the day, on October 1st, 2020, he removed the car from the sister's house, took it back to his house, hid it behind the house, removed the license plate, and fraudulently obtained a copy of the original title. He indicated to MVD he no longer had the original title and proceeded to sign the vehicle over to his wife, knowing the vehicle was no longer his because on June 1st he had signed it over to Victor. Ultimately, it was discovered Victor had not transferred ownership yet because the vehicle was not running and he had been out of town. Once he came back in town, he thought the car had been towed by Santa Cruz County Sheriff or had been stolen. Victor is the one who told Santa Cruz County SO where Castro had the car hidden. During his internal investigation, Castro claimed this was a civil matter between him and Victor, which it may have been, until he executed the above measures, to surreptitiously hide the various felonies committed over those 2 days. Castro resigned from Nogales PD. The criminal investigation was referred to the Santa Cruz County Attorney's Office for prosecution and then sent to the Attorney General's Office. As of this date, the Attorney General's Office is no longer looking at this unless Santa Cruz County Sheriff provides the information they have requested. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Hollins. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Castro's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Detective. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Weiss. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Got it. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, I'm going to recuse myself. Standing for the record, Colonel Silbert will take over chairmanship.
Ms. Oz, case number five.
On August 10, 2021, Officer Raymond Pyle, formerly with the Sierra Vista Police Department, accessed the Spillman database, which is the Southeastern Arizona Records Management System, 6 times for an address in Sierra Vista, Arizona, and conducted name searches for the individuals associated with that address. He then conducted 2 facetious searches for a driver's license query and a name query on an individual he identified from his Spillman searches. These searches were all done while he was on duty, one right after another, over a 5-minute period of time, all of them for other than law enforcement purposes. This was verified by the Spillman System Administrator and the facetious state link for records specific to Officer Pyle. Detective Farrell, a Sierra Vista PD detective, pulled Pyle's calls for service to confirm he was in fact on duty the morning of August 10, 2021, when these queries were conducted and were not part of his official duties related to any of his calls for service. She also said he would have been working a day shift from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. These queries were conducted by Pyle in an effort to find out where his ex-wife was staying when she moved out of their house without telling him where she would be going. These queries included residential and vehicle checks of his ex-wife and some of her family members. On June 3, 2022, an indictment was filed in the Cochise County Superior Court on 1 count of computer tampering for obtaining information required to be kept confidential for law enforcement purposes, and 1 count of computer tampering for accessing a computer and computer system belonging to the city of Sierra Vista, both Class 6 felonies. Pyle resigned from the Sierra Vista PD on June 7, 2022. However, he would have been terminated had he not resigned. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the board? In motion.
Yes, Schuster.
Go ahead, Sheriff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Pyle's peace officer certification.
Second.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you.
Thank you, Colonel. Next case, 2022-102. Mr. Martinez, good morning. The floor is yours.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I need to recuse myself.
For the record be noted. Thank you, Chief.
Good morning, Chairman and board members. I'm Darren Martinez, one of your compliance specialists. I'm here to present case 2022-102 involving current Phoenix police officer Eric Burke. On October 23, 2021, Officer Burke, while off duty, attended a school festival from approximately 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., where he consumed an unknown amount of craft beers. Following the festival, he was invited to his ex-wife's residence in Ahwatukee. That evening, at approximately 10:59 p.m., a neighbor of Officer Burke's ex-wife contacted the Phoenix Police Department to report a domestic situation that she had witnessed between Officer Burke and his ex-wife, who were arguing. When the Phoenix police arrived, Officer Burke was no longer on scene. Phoenix police officers contacted both the ex-wife and the neighbor. Just after midnight, while still on scene, officers witnessed a truck matching Officer Burke's truck's description at the end of the street, but it quickly made a U-turn and left. Phoenix PD attempted to locate the vehicle, but was unsuccessful. Shortly after, while driving eastbound on the I-10 interstate near milepost 161, Officer Burke lost control of his vehicle and collided with a cable barrier separating east and westbound traffic. Officer Burke was ejected from the vehicle through the open driver's door window. Officer Burke's truck continued, driverless, westward, crossing all lanes of traffic and eventually colliding with a concrete barrier. This was witnessed by three individuals who happened to be traveling behind Officer Burke on the interstate. The Department of Public Safety responded and found Officer Burke on the ground near the accident site bleeding from his head. Due to signs of intoxication, a subsequent DUI investigation was conducted. Officer Burke was transported to the Chandler Regional Medical Center, and DPS procured a warrant to obtain blood samples from Officer Burke. At approximately 1:04 a.m., Officer Burke was arrested, and charges were submitted by DPS for driving under the influence while impaired to the slightest degree, which is a Class 1 misdemeanor. The DPS scientific examination report revealed Officer Burke's blood alcohol concentration to be 0.286, which resulted in additional charges to include DUI, extreme DUI, and super extreme DUI. The Phoenix Police Department's internal investigation sustained a Class 3 policy violation, and Officer Burke received a 240-hour suspension. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Burke's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Commander. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly.
Gotcha.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2022-115. Ms. Nichols, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez, for telling you that.
Darcy Nichols, one of your compliance specialists. Jonathan Calderon was a police officer with the Buckeye Police Department from March 2017 to December 2020 when he resigned. He applied to return to the Buckeye Police Department as an officer in April of 2022. He completed an Arizona Post personal history form, a Buckeye PD background packet, and participated in a background interview. Jonathan later contacted Buckeye PD, stating he wanted to get something off his mind prior to the polygraph. He followed up with a written statement detailing steroid use in early 2021 after he'd resigned from the Buckeye PD. In the statement, he explained that he was under a doctor's care and was prescribed steroids while he was employed by Buckeye PD. Upon resigning, he was added to his wife's insurance plan, which didn't cover the steroids. Jonathan said he began experiencing side effects from abruptly stopping the steroid use, so he obtained a bottle of steroids that were prescribed to a friend by a doctor. Jonathan took the bottle of steroids for approximately 10 weeks. He failed to disclose the steroid use on the Arizona Post personal history form, on the Buckeye hiring packet, and during his background interview. Jonathan's use of his friend's steroid prescription occurred while his certification status was inactive, but was still under the jurisdiction of AB Post. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Nichols. Any questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
I move to initiate proceedings against peace officer certification.
Thank you, Colonel. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, sir. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Nichols. Next case, 2022-100. Mr. Kaporik, good morning. The floor is yours.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Dave Kaporik, one of your compliance specialists. This denial case involves former Yuma police recruit Anthony Alvarez. On June 2, 2022, Arizona Post received a termination report from the Yuma Police Department regarding recruit Alvarez, which indicated
that the agency was aware of conduct that may constitute a violation of Arizona Post rules. Documentation provided revealed that on May 27, 2022, Recruit Alvarez was participating in scenario-based training while at the Western Arizona Law Enforcement Training Academy. During his scenario, the recruit training officer noticed Alvarez had a grooming deficiency in that he had not properly shaved his facial hair. The RTO asked Alvarez if he had shaved this morning, to which Alvarez replied, "Yes, sir. I shaved with a grain. That's why it looks like that." At the conclusion of the scenario, the RTO again asked Alvarez if he had shaved, and Alvarez again said that he had. The RTO pointed out that he had asked Alvarez no less than four times if he had shaved or not. Each time Alvarez responded that he did and that he had shaved with the grain. Later that day, Alvarez met with both the class sergeant and the RTO. During this meeting, Alvarez was asked if he had shaved today, and he responded no. When asked why he had lied, Alvarez said, "I was scared of getting in trouble." On June 13, 2022, Arizona Post staff spoke with Mr. Alvarez by telephone. Mr. Alvarez said that while conducting academy scenarios, he was the first participant, and the RTO was the actor. It was at this time that the RTO initially inquired about his shaving. According to Mr. Alvarez, this was when he initially was untruthful about shaving and thought the conversation was merely part of the scenario. When the RTO subsequently asked about shaving, Mr. Alvarez said that he was untruthful because he did not want to get the rest of his class in trouble, because if one cadet committed an academy rule violation, the entire class faced some type of discipline. Arizona Post staff also spoke with the class sergeant. The sergeant expressed that he believed Mr. Alvarez is a 22-year-old, immature, and lacking in life experience. The sergeant provided examples of Mr. Alvarez's immaturity issues, including his inability to tie a tie, tucking his shirt, disheveled uniform, and he even had trouble with tying his own shoes. The sergeant let us know that Mr. Alvarez was the recruit in the class, which would often get the rest of the class into trouble because of his actions or inaction. Alvarez's employment was terminated by the Yuma Police Department as a probationary release with no formal internal investigation completed. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be happy to answer any questions should the board have any.
Thank you, Mr. DeBoard. Any questions? Any comments? Now I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Alvarez.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Jamie Kelly, second.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify saying aye.
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 All opposed, saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. We're going to go back now, since Mr. Brackett has made the walk. For final action case, this will be 2020-193. This will be a consent agreement for the board. Mr. Brackett, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board.
This is Gary Williams again. I need to recuse myself. Sorry.
That's okay, Chief. For the record, be noted. Mr. Brackett.
Thank you. This consent agreement is about a police recruit, Chris Del Pozo, who was dishonest to his class sergeant. Specifically, Mr. Del Pozo was a police recruit with the Phoenix Police Department, and while at PERPA, which is the Phoenix Police Academy, he was seen by other recruits vaping while on class breaks. Vaping on academy grounds is in violation of academy rules, and so the class sergeant spoke with recruit Del Pozo, but Mr. Del Pozo denied vaping on the academy campus. Turns out that Mr. Del Pozo's statement was a dishonest one. The next day, Academy staff re-interviewed Mr. Del Pozo, who now admitted to vaping, and he also admitted to being dishonest to his class sergeant. Mr. Del Pozo was terminated on October 22nd, 2020, which is just shy of 2 years, 2 years ago. Mr. Del Pozo is present here today. He's seated here to my right, and he would like to address the board. I understand that he will ask for a second chance as he is wanting to test again for law enforcement. The consent agreement has a proposal of a 12-month suspension, and after which he may reapply for certified status. He'd be eligible to test again as a police recruit. Post staff supports this consent agreement and supports the idea and the objective to give Mr. Del Pozo a second chance. As always, I would like to reserve my final comments to the end, if I may, Mr. Chairman. And if there are no questions for me, I understand Mr. Del Pozo would like to address the board.
Any questions for Mr. Brechtel? Thank you, Mr. Brechtel. Sir?
Mr. Del Pozo, why don't you come up?
You go to the podium, please. Good morning. The microphone's yours.
Good morning. Christopher Del Pozo. I just want to say thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come here and speak today. Basically, when my sergeant first asked me, I kind of got a little scared. I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want to get kicked out. And then basically immediately afterwards, I realized my mistake, and I wanted to do right by it and tell the sergeant, instead of taking my, I guess, action to tell the truth, he said, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Showed up the next day, told him everything, and then I was fired in lieu of termination. That's really all I have. If anyone has any questions.
Questions by the board?
I do, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry, Mr. DePozo, you said you were fired in lieu of termination.
So
that's right.
So that's what they told me originally. I don't know what it actually looks like on any sort of paperwork. But I remember signing something at the headquarters saying in lieu of termination.
You resigned or
yes.
You were, okay.
Yeah, yeah,
that's, that was the correction.
Yeah,
thank you.
In lieu of termination.
All right, thank you.
Any other, I'm sorry, I thought you had a follow-up. Any other questions? All right, sir. All right, you can sit down. Thank you. Mr. Brechtel, closing.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Arizona Post staff does support this consent agreement and provide this young man with an opportunity to retest. Obviously, this opportunity did not exist until the board elected to modify its rules, and now you have a new rule in effect. I think there is a cautionary message here for any young man or woman who wants to enter law enforcement about the absolute need for truthfulness. That being said, there has been a punishment imposed on this young man to date, and he's requesting that there be an opportunity to try again and to return to law enforcement, and post staff supports that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brechtel. I'll start off with a statement. You know, this is cautious grounds. And like, as you say, Mr. Brechtel, I don't disagree. As been on the board for many years, the fact that integrity is our backbone in law enforcement. And to start making exceptions, though I understand the newness to the profession, the seriousness of the profession, the misunderstanding maybe, lack of clarification, whatever adjectives or word you want to use, but it's very guarded territory for, I guarantee you, I, as a board member, that we want people that are integral in their communities, that are respected, that's earned, of course. So, but I also understand being under pressure, being new. So this is a unique opportunity, and I guess Mr. Brechtel will say, so I'll share with my board members' comments.
I have a couple.
Go ahead, Colonel.
So we had a case here recently, and I want to say it was from Avondale PD, where guy on a field ride, a recruit, filmed and lied to the sergeant about filming, and then somehow he got a second chance, and I opposed that, and I will tell you, I opposed this. The academy, like I said, in that circumstance, it's like a first date. It's probably the best the behavior is ever going to be, you know. Should it be like that? Should it be like that all the way through? Yeah, ideally it should be like that all the way through. But the fact of the matter is they tell you the day you enter that academy. Well, they tell you that the day you start taking the polygraph exam and you apply. You lie about anything, you're done. That's it. It's end of story. And now we're starting to have this kind of nebulous ambiguity to are we accepting lies now? And are we accepting lies from recruits? And I have to tell you, you know, I know I went through a completely different academy back in the day. Things were far more high stress, as I think many of the people who are sitting at this table. I don't think Phoenix runs a stress academy in any way, shape, or form right now. And I think they're very accommodating to recruits. So it makes it even more difficult for me to conceive a recruit lying. Then it's the circumstance of lying about vaping at the academy. I think I have issues with that in and of itself. The bottom line is this, it's the academy. And your behavior has to be at its very best. So I have to tell you, I know where I'm going to vote on this, but I have no latitude with lying at the academy unless somebody was set up somehow or somebody took you down the wrong path or something like that. They make it clear. I mean, they beat it into you as best they can. Don't lie. So I think we're going, and I agree with you, Sheriff, that we better be real careful about this where we start to get into these little waters about, well, you know, he lied, but he came back. Hey, it's the academy. That's it. End of story.
What? Let me ask you a question. Was it clear to you that integrity was utmost when you entered the academy? Thank you. Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion. You can have a seat, sir.
I'll make a motion to reject the proposed consent agreement and to revoke the proposed certification for Mr. Del Pozo.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, it's a denial case, not a revocation case. So if the board chooses to deny the consent agreement, then we'd have to go back to the drawing board and Mr. Del Pozo would be able to afford his full due process rights through a hearing.
Okay.
And Moni, correct me if I'm wrong, please.
You're correct, Director. Yeah, and you'll see there that is one of your options in the proposed motions. It would be I move to reject the proposed consent agreement and remand the matter back to staff.
One more time?
I believe you're wanting to reject the proposed consent and remand the matter back to staff.
Remand. Okay, that's the one I have, right? Okay, got it. I move to reject the proposed consent agreement and remand this matter back to staff.
Thank you, Colonel. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Detective.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
It's Lisa.
Oh,
can I ask Mr. Brechtel a question, please?
Sure, Mr. Brechtel.
So, Mr. Brechtel, can you explain how post staff came upon the decision to offer a consent agreement to this respondent?
Mark, if you could, I'll take that. Lisa, this is Matt. In 2019, at a board meeting in July, and I recognize that some of you were on the board at that time, Andy Lefevre brought up a case very similar to this with a recruit because your former rules only said we could deny, and deny was permanent. We had no other option. There was no suspension. It was a denial, and that was it. And his comment was, for small infractions or what the board might deem as small infractions, could we have some lesser penalty than a permanent denial? So we started working on it. We brought back to this board a proposal during one of our rule changes to allow for what we call a delayed certification, where the board has the ability to say, hey, we don't like what you did. It's a violation of our rules. However, we're not going to permanently deny you from being a peace officer. We're going to give you a period of time, whatever the board might kind of weigh in on. As we started going through this process, we had about 20 denial cases that we kind of put in holding pattern until that rule changed. That's why you're seeing more of them over the last couple months, because now they're all coming to fruition. And again, this conversation here, Lisa, is how we kind of come up with this. We roundtable every Tuesday with myself, Ben Henry, our two compliance managers, and our attorneys, and we discuss cases and we discuss what's reasonable. And to Sheriff Daniel's point, we're kind of in uncharted territory. We've never done this before. So we're just trying to get a feel for the board on where you are on these cases. It sounds like we're getting some pretty clear delineation now on where you want us to go and when, or direction, and we'll go there. But we just thought that based on this information, based on the newness of the academy, 1 year seemed reasonable. But again, we work for you and we work on what the direction you give us. So the information we're getting today will probably change any future consent agreements we may or may not offer in cases similar to this. I hope that answered your question.
It does. Thank you. I guess what I'm thinking is along the Brady line, while they're not a police officer that's committed the infraction of lying, integrity, whatever, but the disclosure on behalf of a police agency that this officer, if it's ever questioned, lied as a recruit. So that's my brain is kind of swirling around that one.
No, you're exactly right. And we actually, anytime the board makes a finding for dishonesty or any other the issues that affect Brady, we do make notification to the respective county attorney's office. So in this case, we would, if this consent agreement was approved upon where he is admitted to making a false statement, he's agreed to that, the board has accepted it, we would make a finding or make a notification to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office for possible inclusion on the Brady list.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Weiss. Any further discussion? We have a motion, we have a second. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed to the motion, signify by saying nay.
Nay.
Who is in it? Oh, Commander. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Brackett. Thank you, sir. And good luck to you. That concludes our cases for today. Director, if I can say just a couple things before we conclude.
Please.
Monique, we wish you well up north. I mean, you've been great to this board, and we wish you well. Don't forget us. Stop by and say hi to us. Second of all, I want to say a special thank you and appreciation to Chief Williams. You've served very well on this board and your community, and I've enjoyed the friendship with you, and I've enjoyed the professional relationship we've had up on this board. So I wish you well. We'll get you back here in the near future to appreciate you one last time. And any final comments to your board members, Chief?
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mike, you're going to get me all choked up. So no final comments because it's not final, quote unquote, yet. But it's been an honor, a true honor to serve on a board with such amazing folks like yourselves who really dedicate a lot of time and put in a lot of thought into making sure our state has the best peace officers possible. So very blessed, very honored. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chief. Good luck to you. Any comments from board members? All right, I'll turn it over to the director.
No future agenda items, none for us. If there's anything the board would like us to research and present at a later date, we're happy to do so.
Thank you, Director. As always, say thank you, staff. You guys do an amazing job. And with that, I will take a motion to adjourn, even though I don't need it. I do it. So moved. See you all next month. Thank you. Be safe.